how good God is. How good can we be? I know we have some widows here today. I know we have some who don't have their parents anymore. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender to the widow. He's a judge. He takes up the cause. He's the hero. Hallelujah. What a God we have. Amen. We have a story in the Bible. It's an account of a true happening. King David, after he was settled on his throne, remembered his promise to Jonathan. And his promise was if either of them had risen to a place of importance, and they would see that the other's family was taken care of. A lot of times when somebody came to importance and was a new line, a lot of people in false loyalty killed the other king's family as a way of showing loyalty to the new king. In fact, David had a few different people that came to him and told him that they discovered Saul dead and thought they were going to get a reward for it, and he ended up killing them. There was, unfortunately, many king's sons put to death. Saul's son's children. And there was the one that escaped, Mephibosheth, and the maid grabbed him up and ran to hide him. And fleeing in fear for his life, dropped him, and he fell, and his leg was permanently injured. Or it was injured, and they were afraid to seek a doctor. And for whatever reason, it mended, and he was a lame man. And it was a while later, and David said, "Is there any of Saul and Jonathan's family that I could show kindness to?" And the person that went in search for David found Mephibosheth and brought Mephibosheth before David. And he was extremely fearful of that interview. What was David going to say to him, or what was he going to do to him? And his life had been a life of living and hiding in fear. In fact, his whole hope was that his name never came up to David, that there was never a remembrance that David would pay any attention or notice him, but that he would just be able to live his life in peace. And that's all been shattered, and he's coming before King David. And when King David meets with him, he shows him graciousness, and he restores to him all the land that was his grandfather's, all the land that was his father's. And he says, "Come and eat at my table every day." I said, I got these super long tablecloths. They hang down the side of the table all the way to the floor. And you scooch up into the table and sit there, and no person will even know that you're lame in your legs. I said, "Come in, sit, and let me just be good to you, and let me treat you well." He lived his whole life in fear of this interview, and then they had the interview, and David basically said to him, "Your family to me." It's interesting how God does things. I like when people gather together, bind ties and grow in importance to each other. I like there to be ties in our church. I like people to come and look at their brothers and sisters in Christ and say, you guys are family to me. But beyond how I like to do things, I want to look today and see just how God deals in all of these situations. I'm going to start in two scriptures. They both start with J, so they ought to be easy to find. The first is Jeremiah 49:11, and then the second one is James 1:27. We'll look at both these scriptures. I'll give you a minute to get your fingers in both places if you want to turn there. Jeremiah 49:11 and James 1:27. Jeremiah 49:11, I was aware of this verse because of the song, A Song of the Free, and the man that left his congregation and went and led into the Revolutionary War. And before he left his house, he prayed this prayer, Jeremiah 49:11, says, leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. In James 1:27, the Bible tells us pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When I look at God as a father to the fatherless and as the defender and preserver of widows. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy and chapter 10. And the first thing we're going to look at is he supplies their needs. He promises in that those that trust in him, the widows and the fatherless, he will take care of them. In Deuteronomy 10:18-19, it says he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow. And loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. The first point there is that he would execute judgment for the fatherless and the widow. What would happen in the old eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth judgments and justice is that there would be an understanding of what happened and a judgment would go down and you could do an eye for an eye. So you could go and you could extract an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You could get your judgment, but you typically had to get it at the strong right arm of a male in the family. There had to be a hero, there had to be a sheriff, there had to be a conqueror that would go and would derive justice from that other family. You guys have all heard the saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. The fatherless and the widow didn't have a strong right arm of a male to go and confront for them or go and seek justice for them. But the Bible says that God would take it up for them. Now, it's one thing to face man, it's another thing to face the Lord. And that he would extract justice. Now, usually those things were decided in, you know, we'd like to think about it. Well, you and I got into a fight and you knocked out my eye. Well, I'm going to come over here and I'm going to bring a needle and we're going to knock out your eye. They'd usually decide a financial compensation of some sort that was satisfactory, not actually take out the other person's eye. But sometimes they had to do that by force. Meaning had to bring some pressure on the other family to make them come up and do what was right and what they owed. Now, God said He would take up their judgment in their case so that they were not left without the hero. Their hero was God. Next thing we look at is He helps and judges in their causes. In Psalms 10, I'm going to read from verse 14 down to 18. Pay attention. It says, "Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it in thy hand. The poor committed themselves unto thee, and thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. The Lord thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress." It was one of David's faults and of the problems that he had in his kingdom, is that he did not set up a system of courts to hear cases. In the beginning of Deuteronomy, we're going to see that Moses set up a set of courts, and he set up captains over tens and captains over 50s and captains over 100s. And he set up basically a court system like our appellate court. And it'd go up to the Supreme Court, and then if there was nobody else that could solve it, they'd bring the case to Moses. And Absalom would sit in the gate of the city of Jerusalem and say, "Oh, here comes somebody with a grievance. If I was king, I would have a court here and you could be heard." And it was a common thing to be done in Israel. It was a common thing to be done all through the time of the judges. It was a common thing to be done. And that there would be the leaders of the city would sit among the gates, and they would be the council, and they would hear cases, and they'd make decisions. And even when Boaz wanted to marry Ruth, he went to the gate and he plucked off his shoe and he had a testimony given there, and he brought forth the other parties and he went ahead and staked his claim. And everyone agreed, and it was bound forever. God said He hears the grievances. When you think that you have no power, that nobody cares about what you think, that you're isolated, that you're alone, that you're lonely, that you're forgotten, there is a God in heaven who has not forgotten you. And He's hearing your case. And He's taking it very seriously. And He's going to come down with a judgment. And His judgment will always be just. And praise the Lord. I've seen several things go to courts of different reason and different matter, and I've been involved in different cases, and I was sometimes sweating to wonder, what judge are we going to get? And what's his reputation? And how does he usually side? And is he sympathetic to churches? Now, I know how the righteous judge feels about churches. And I know how he feels about Christian matters and Christian things. And I know how he feels about his children. You say, Jackie and I'd say there's no such thing as an unwanted child in the Beatty house. We're talking about we wanted all the children. We'd like to have them all, right, Jackie? Wanted to have one of those cribs that's like 10 wide. Put a baby in every spot. And then we wanted to have like 3 butlers come in and change the diapers. Right, Jack? And a housekeeper. That was the plan. We didn't marry him, but God, he has no unwanted children. And he's like, well, man, I'm fatherless. Or I'm an orphan. There is no such thing because he adopts and he sets into families. In Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says, the father to the fatherless, the judge of the widows, a God in his holy habitation, God setteth the solitary in families, he bringeth out those which are bound in chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Robin. And she's a long way from her folks. And she's kind of living into our family. And we're happy she's there. And she's a bright spot. We praise the Lord for her. And it wasn't very long ago that she didn't know us and we didn't know her. But we both knew him. And he brought us together. And I don't want to say that we've been a blessing to Robin. I want to say that Robin's been a blessing to us. But he takes a solitaire and he sets them in families. He gives people to them. He's taken and given Heidi and Pam a special relationship. He's given Miss Joanne a special place where she has confidence and she can be a help to Miss Bobby. Then he's also given her wisdom to back off and say, make sure your family takes care of you and make sure that they're involved in everything. And all of those things are terribly important. And God, at the same time, sees all of that together. It's one of my burdens that I don't want someone to come into our church and have to sit by themselves, because I want other people to say, hey, we want you in our family. We want to care about you and we want to love you and we want to include you and we want to, you to be part of us. And God is he's a God that adopts. And he got a special adoption program. Through Jesus Christ, his son, he gives us the spirit of adoption. When we receive him, we become joint heir and heir with Jesus Christ. How good of a God he is. So he supplies needs. He's a helper and a judge in causes. He adopts and sets in families, but he also defends. And assures that justice is done. In Psalms 82:3, it says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. You know who gets taken advantage of most financially? I know there was a idea that they were going to tax all the very wealthy people. They're going to end up taxing 700 billionaires. And they talked about that, and that was the president's idea. And one senator stood up and said, that's not right. Now, it's easy for all us poor folks to say, oh, go sick them. But it's not right. Joe Manchin from West Virginia told the President Biden that we were not going to do that, and he did not have his vote. My brother Steve and I talked about Joe Manchin many months ago. He told me that he met him and that Joe Manchin told him that he was a believer. He had accepted Christ as his Savior. Steve told me that knowing him and meeting him first person, that he thought that he was a good man. And I mentioned it to him again last week. And he said, when we met together, I was with about three other pastors, and we were going to have prayer with him. And right before we got ready to pray, Joe Manchin said, I'd like it if we all joined hands first. And you all know that I would like that too. So I felt even that much better about Joe Manchin, but he is a God that... There was a saying in one of the Little House on the Prairie books, and it was, everybody gets their ice. The rich people get their ice in the summer, and the poor people get their ice in the winter. Now, God is a God that brings justice. And not only those who can pay for their justice, does he bring justice to, he brings justice to all people. And sometimes justice means that you've been oppressed in some way or you've been wronged. I think that in financial matters that the big target would be the big fish. That's not the case. Here's the target. Barlum Bailey said, there's a sucker born every minute. I seek to get a dollar from every one of those suckers. By hook or by crook or by trick or some way. And there's predatory practices in finances. And there's predatory interest rates. And there's predatory lending rules. And there's all these things. And they seek not on the back of the extremely wealthy person. When they borrow money, they borrow it for next to nothing. Terry Tracy told me that he lent money to Phil Knight when Phil Knight was opening his back trunk of his car and selling tennis shoes out of the trunk. He said, eventually, as Knight took off and Phil Knight became so wealthy that he continued to lend him money, but it wasn't because he made any money on the loan. It was the prestige of dealing with such a high-powered company. Eventually, he lost that business because he didn't have enough money in his bank. He'd couple three or four banks together. He still didn't have enough money to lend him the amounts of money he wanted to borrow. So he went on to bigger fish. It's a person that owes $1,000 on their card and is paying $50 a month in interest and never making any headway on it. That's where they're making all the money. They're just doing it 1,000 times or 10,000 times or 100,000 times. God finds justice. He draws things in the favor of all the people. The next thing he does is he relieves the fatherless and the widow. He'll say, what is it to be relieved? It's to have security. It's to have someone come along and take some of your obligation. It's to have somebody take and do your duty for a while. Let me read the scripture in Psalms 146. I'm going to read 7, 8, 9. It says, which executeth judgment for the oppressed and giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. He raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers and relieveth the fatherless. And the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. I want you to know that sometimes it's a relief just to know someone's on your side. It's a relief to know that somebody understands. It's a relief to know that God cares. So he supplies the needs. He helps with causes and judges. He adopts and sets in families. He defends and assures justice. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. He guards their land and protects their legacy. When they set out the land of Israel and they divided it, they had a system. They had a system of understanding where all the lines were. And part of their system involved strong men carrying big rocks at corners of property. I was at my brother Steve's house. He's living at the parsonage there in Ohio. And I was looking at some trees. I was looking at the line. And I was looking at there's a garden in the back. And the farmer used to always plant over about 10 feet. And then I would mow over about 10 feet. Now, it was almost like we were fighting over the landline. I thought the farmer ought to just draw a straight line. He's probably thinking the preacher ought to draw a straight line. I said, Steve, it looks like you're about 20 feet further out than I ever got with the farmer. I said, how did you do it? He said, I think Boaz mowed over that farm. His son. It was all green grass and everything. And I'm looking at it, and I was just like, looks like you got 10 more feet of land. Now, somewhere down there is a pin. A pin that was put there by a surveyor. And somebody with the right equipment can come out there and they can find the pin and they can find out exactly where the line is. Sometimes things happen with pins and where the line is. When I was about 35, somebody did some surveying over by the Church of Troy. And it's like this. Straight down the very middle of the church. And that way, toward the parking lot. All of it belonged to the Kempton family. And somebody had messed up where the line was, and they built the church. And half the church was on their land. Can you believe that, Mrs. Jackson? That was a good 40 feet. And then there was a line, and it went up the hill, and there was all these pine trees planted along, and it looked like just like that's where it was supposed to be. Now, the Kempton family could have came down and said, well, how soon are you going to get the church tore down so that we can do something with our land? You know what they did? They had a surveyor come out, and they surveyed the piece off, and they gave it to the church at Troy and said, it's been there for 60 years or so. It must have meant to be. And they were super gracious about it. But the Bible's talking here about not moving the landmark. I say, well, that widow and those kids, they don't need all that farmland. And I've got, you know, a family growing and everything. I'm just going to roll the stone a few times. And my farm will get that much bigger, and their farm will get that much smaller. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about moving the property pin. And says not to do that. That God is one that he's going to watch for that. And in Proverbs 23:10 says, renew not the ancient landmark, and enter not the field of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause with thee. You can fight town hall sometimes. You can fight the system. But if you find yourself fighting with God, close the door, they're coming in the windows. You're in trouble. If God is pleading someone's cause against you, you are wrong. He guards their land and protects their legacy. Next thing, he protects them in financial dealings. In Malachi 3, 5 and 6, Malachi 3, 5 says, "And I will come near to you in to judgment. And I will be swift to witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn the stranger from his right. Fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I already mentioned quite a bit about this. A lot of folks' lives are surrounded or focused on the point of making money. There is nothing wrong with making money in an honest sort of way. And you should take care of the money that God gives you. You should save some, you should give some, and you should spend some. Right, Miss Mary? You should save some for later, especially if you're younger and you have a smaller amount of responsibilities. You ought to be saving some. You ought to give some. You ought to give some here in this house. You ought to give some to the missionaries. You ought to give some to special situations and needs. You ought to give some as God moves you. And that ought to be one of your conversations with God about how much you ought to give. You ought to spend a little, but don't get crazy and don't develop bad habits of spending. Some young men, some young ladies get jobs and they're able to go out and go to the mall every Friday and buy something, buy a new wardrobe, buy something for themselves, and they get in that habit, and then they get married, and there's not all that extra, discretionary income, but they still got to have toys. Shame on them, they never got grown up. Never got adult mindsets about it. Typically, with fatherless and widows, there's less disposable income. There's less room for errors or issues. I want you to know, the Lord takes all these attitudes and He shows them through the Scripture. And they're not hidden. They're sitting on top like gold nuggets. He doesn't just do all that. He challenges us back at our first verse in James. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. If you want to talk about your walk with God and your religion, part of that's finding some widows and some fatherless children to help, to be a blessing to. To give them the heart of God, to become the human instrument. Like this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and I fulfill the commission of God to the fatherless and the widows. In Corinthians, we're in Christ's stead, ambassadors. That we're reconciling the world to God, but we're in Christ's stead, ambassadors. that we have the opportunity to show pure religion to the undefiled, or to the widow and the fatherless. We have the opportunity to follow and do what is right. As a pastor, I'm frequently thinking about the widow. I'm thinking of a place to show God's heart through our church, to be His hands and feet here on earth. He commissions all of us to visit all of His works back to the fatherless and the widow. There is nothing more masculine than defending someone who is defenseless. There is nothing more wholesome than someone who is without a father to come and be a father figure to. There is nothing more blessed than to stare down some evil would-be take advantage. My mom, God bless her, she called my wife. This has been a while ago. And she said, I just won this gift card to Walmart. And all I had to do was give them my bank number to pay some tax. I'm like, oh no. Those folks are going to get that bank number and they're going to take every penny out of her bank account. I tell you this, her only defense was not her brilliance. It wasn't that she was wary and cautious. It was that somebody on the other end wrote down one of the numbers wrong and couldn't do it. That was God's protection. He said, I see somebody that needs my help right now. Write down a 3 instead of a 4. And then they started to type that bank number in and they were going to see how much was in the account and they were going to drain it. I'm surprised he never called her back. How good God is. How good can we be? I know we have some widows here today. I know we have some who don't have their parents anymore. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender to the widow. He's a judge. He takes up the cause. He's the hero. Hallelujah. What a God we have. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.